Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Good evening, Church on the Rock. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday night service. We have a service tonight that's going to look a little bit different. I know many of you have seen all the terrible things that have been happening in our nation, all the horrible evil, all the racism, the tragic thing that happened to Mr. Floyd, Miss Taylor, and our hearts are just broken over that. Our hearts are broken. Many in our church family have called me and they've said, you know, Daniel, just hopeless. We feel hopeless, distraught. We're hurting right now. And so tonight, we wanted to take just this service and have a discussion, a panel, and address racism, address some of these things, what the biblical response is, and how we go forward from here, how we take action from here. And, you know, from the very beginning, I remember Dad, he kind of gave us this mandate. He said, Daniel, I don't just want to post about it. I don't just want to talk about it. We want to take action. We want to get better as a church. And I've heard many leaders saying this phrase. In fact, Neil, it was your sister. I loved it. She said, now is the time to lean in, listen, and learn. You know, I loved that. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. And before we get started, I just want to address two types of people. And I say this respectfully. The first person, you might be tuning in and watching, you might say, Daniel, I know all about that. I'm going to turn the channel. I'm not a racist. I don't have any bias. And I would just encourage you to really approach tonight with a heart of humility, to approach it with a heart of humility, because I really think we all have things that in blind spots, we all have bias, we all have things in life that we don't know about. And, you know, David said in Psalms, he said, God searched my heart, which means that he was saying, there's things in my heart that I might not know about. And so, God, I need you to point them out to me. So I encourage you, as you listen tonight, do what Dad said. This actually, again, I refer to Dad all the time, but he said this in his video. He said, Lord, you know, one of the things we need to be praying during this time is, Lord, examine my heart. Lord, check every area. Holy Spirit, point out the things that don't need to be there. And so I just encourage you that. The second person is, you might think about emailing me and saying, Daniel, stay out of politics. Okay, first off, this has nothing to do with politics. What this has to do with is people. Can we say that? Not politics. All about people. And you know, Jesus was all about people. And our mission here at Church of the Rock is to lead people to a God who's for them and help those people discover his purpose for their life. Our church family is made up of people. And you know what? They're hurting right now. And we need to support them. I'll never forget, I was telling Dad a story, guys. You know how I love to tell stories. But about 17 years ago, about 18 years ago, probably, the church was going through a real kind of tumultuous time. We had some families leaving the church. There was a lot of just strife, you know. I told Dad when I came back from Bible college, I said, Dad, you never told me people were so mean because he never talked about that stuff. But we had some just tough times going on at church, and I was worried. A lot of people saying lies, leaving good friends, left the church. And I was in my office on a Wednesday night over in the old office, Neil Family Life and Learning Center. And I was praying before service, and I heard a knock on the door. And I went over and opened the door, and there was Gene Crosby. And you guys know Mr. Gene Crosby. He's been Dad's armor bearer for years. And Gene walked in, and Gene's a big man. If you know Gene, he's awesome. He's got hands that are just like baseball gloves. And he pulled a chair, and Gene and Lenoise, if you're watching, we love you. Yes, love your family. He put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, little brother, he said, there's some people saying some crazy things out there. And I said, yeah. He goes, there's some wild rumors flying around. And I said, yeah. And he goes, I just want you to know that we're with you, and we have your back. And, you know, I think that he didn't realize it, but that moment, Gene was the hands and the feet of Christ. He was Christ to me right that moment. He saw that I was hurting. He recognized my pain. And what did he do? He let me know that he was with me. And that's what we're wanting to do tonight. For those in our community, our African-American brothers and sisters who feel marginalized, they experience stuff that, man, James, you were talking about today that I just, man, just breaks your heart. We want to let you know that we're with you tonight. We want to let you know that we're standing with you. And so if it's cool with you, Dad, let's get started. Yeah, that's why. Can you guys introduce yourselves tonight? We got some amazing communicators, three of the best communicators I've ever heard. James, you start out.
Sure. James Davis. I've been here at Church on the Rock going on 5 years. Next month we'll make 5 years. Awesome. After my family and I transitioned from Los Angeles, California. Grateful to be here. Thank you, Pastor Blunt, Pastor Kim, Daniel, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Awesome. Yes, my name's Neil Hobson. Some people call me Neil. So I'm in radio. I'm a DJ, I'm a dancer, and a communicator. But I'm just really thankful that we're having this conversation. Thank you for allowing us to be here, and thank you for those shoes as well. I don't know if you can see, Pastor's, you know, Air Jordan Bred Ones, the Last Dance edition. But you know, we're really, you know, appreciative of this conversation because it definitely needs to be had.
That's good. Dan, you want to introduce yourself? And you know the founding pastor. Dad, I'm going to call you Dad tonight. All right. Awesome. Okay. So guys, how I kind of wanted to just approach this is I go through some of these questions. We're going to just talk about racism and what it is. And I would like to hear your experience. And then next, we're kind of going to move into a spiritual component, some of the questions around the spiritual side. And then lastly, action steps. I'm excited. James gave us some awesome ones. You'll keep hearing me refer. See, James taught our staff today on inclusion, and it was just, I'm kind of overflowing right now. It was so awesome. So thank you, James. I kind of got a secret, preview of what he said. So here we go. So guys, can you just define for me, what is racism? What is racism?
Well, you know, it's a big question, but pretty much racism and systematic racism is, it's no secret. Our country was founded on, you know, slavery and racism and things of that nature. And it's a system and a construct that's built to profit one group of people and to disadvantage another. And the way we've seen it, you know, these days, it's not as overt as it used to be in some cases, but it's still really interwoven in our communities and our school systems and our government and just the way of life and how we think and our biases. And it's not really one group of people are racist and one's not. We all have, you know, different, you know, biases and blind spots that we're working on. But racism is one of those things where it really has shaped our world and our viewpoint and is something that is sin. And that's pretty much what it is.
I totally agree. He articulated that very, very well. But I would also add to that when you speak of racism, some people think that it's, as Neil said, just one group. No, everyone has the potential to be racist. The question is, are we aware enough to check ourselves when we notice that we could be sliding that way? And if so, what are we going to do about it, and how do we move to make that change? So I just wanted to add that.
That's so good. Are the recent incidents that have been so terrible that we see, are those just isolated, or do you guys still experience stuff like that today? And could you share some specific examples? And James, too, like Dad and I were just like, wow, when you were talking about the talk, you spoke of that African-American families have to have, you know, just breaks my heart thinking about that we necessarily don't have to have. Could you talk about those things?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned before, when I asked the question, how many families have had the talk with their children or loved ones? And typically, you get a lot of hands in the room. However, the response to the talk is different, and what that talk is about is different. In some families, the talk could be about dating, right? In some families, the talk could be about marriage, right? In some talk, the talk could be about sex, and we gotta wait till marriage. That's the Bible says we wait till marriage. So that's the talk in some houses. But in my household, the talk, as I had with James, who's now 13, we've had the talk with him at age 7. And that talk was when you encounter the police, because there's not many African-American black young men or women who have not and will not in their lifetime. So when you encounter the police, what do you do? How do you do it? You need to, are you respectful? You have to make sure you keep your hands in a certain spot. No putting your hands in your pocket. So that talk for us is different than what it is for others. So we have to make sure that our children understand that at the end of the day, your objective is to get home alive. Get home alive. Don't look to find the justice and fight the justice in the streets, on the corner. Come home. Your parent, your guardian, that's our job, is to make sure that we seek counsel, that we seek whomever we need to do the process the right way, because we need you here. We need you here. The world needs you here. God needs you here. You have a purpose on your life, and we don't want you, out of emotion, to cast it all away in just a second. We want to give everything we can here.
And also, I think that talk changes as we see, you know, more and more occurrences, because we may, you know, start out saying this is how you engage with the law enforcement if you get pulled over. But then when you see that didn't work and someone lost their life, it's kind of like, well, what do we do now? And sometimes you just don't know. So, you know, my dad and my mom, they taught us to, okay, you know, first of all, you can limit the limit the interaction that you have if you're not looking as suspicious, so to speak. Suspicious. So, you know, what you're wearing. You know, I don't drive with a hat on pretty much to this day, because my dad said, you know, we've been privileged to, you know, drive nice cars, and if they see a young black man in a car and it may just not add up, it doesn't line up, something's not right, then you might get pulled over, and then things may escalate, and so on and so forth. So you have those talks of, you know, if you go into a store, make sure you get a bag and a receipt, because you may not be given the benefit of the doubt, whether it's just a pack of gum. So little things like that, where you have those talks, and then you try to figure out, okay, how can we move from there, where we can not only have a great relationship with the police, but we can actually pass that down from generation to generation. So it's not like it's us and them, but we can actually coexist together, and they can protect and serve us, and we can have a great relationship.
Do you guys have some specific incidents that have happened to you that you could share with us?
Well, you know, before I got into radio, I was in the car business. I worked for Mercedes-Benz for 8 years. So I was young. I was 20 years old when I started. So I looked young then, probably like I was 14, right? So I'm like dressing up in my dad's suit. That's what it looked like. So, going into it, I had to make sure that I just went above and beyond, right? So some people are like, why are you so dressed up? Like, wear a polo, wear some khakis, you're good, it's hot outside. But I have a full piece suit and tie and everything. I have glasses to look a little older, no earrings, just things just to limit really being discriminated against, because I'm asking someone for, $100,000, $120,000 in 20 minutes, right? So you have to overcome a lot of objections, just land on an even playing field. And that's one of the things that, I constantly had to overcome, because your product knowledge had to be excellent, top notch, just to be even. And when you're playing from the back and you're just trying to do what everybody else does, it's tough. It's discouraging, because you don't get the same shots and opportunities. But, one thing that I've always been taught with, at home and with pastors, that when we have the favor of God on our lives, when God's on our side, if God's for us, who could be against us? So that positioned me to be able to excel where I was. But it's tough for, a lot of individuals that don't have some of the knowledge that I've been passed down from my pastor and my parents.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think even for me, Daniel, just going to the store, you have to be aware and you have to be careful. Sometimes some people, they joke and say, hey, oh yeah, I know that black mom would always tell her children, don't touch anything unless you're paying for it. Don't touch anything when we go in the store. Why? Not because the mother doesn't have the money to pay for it. 9 times out of 10, the money's there probably, but to touch something and be accused of stealing when if the child just wants to pick up the toy and say, ooh, right, versus I'm going to put it in my pocket and steal it for the child, or the child is going to steal it. So even going into stores, when some children can go in and play with the whole shebang and then the store will clean it up later, we can't take that risk, right? Walking in that store and being followed. That's happened to me multiple times. And depending on what kind of store you're walking in, you have to be aware that not everyone sees you the way that you want them to see you. And it's unfortunate because of what? Because of maybe history, maybe what has been taught to them. I talk about culture in the house. So when you talk about culture, culture is learned, right? And you have to understand that things are passed down from maybe who you've been around or maybe who you were not around. So if you don't engage with or introduce yourself to or intentionally partner with people who are outside of you, outside of your comfort zone, you're in a bubble. So anything that comes to you outside of that bubble, it's automatically a defensive, hey, wait a minute, why is that? So walking in the store being followed, getting on an elevator and whomever's on there, usually a young lady, grabs her purse and moves it to the other side if I'm coming on, right? So a lot of times, even myself, I would try to disarm them and let them know before I'm coming, smile, I'm not trying to take anything that belongs to you, to try to diffuse it. But why should I have to work extra hard? So that's a question that a lot of times I find myself asking, but I do understand I have a responsibility to make it home alive. I have a responsibility to make it back home to my family so that I can do and teach, as Neil mentioned as well. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way that he should go so that when they get older, they will not depart from it. So my train up a child may be a little bit different than my neighbor's train up a child. Right? But it's my responsibility to train up my children.
Yeah. You know, James, you touched on this a little bit today, but my next question was how does it feel to be a person of color in America, in St. Louis today? I know you answered a little bit there, but if you'd touch on again, you were talking about, and I heard Charles Barkley say, we were getting ready for NBA radio, and he was saying the same thing yesterday, is that just how exhausting it is to be black in America today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no running from it. There's no hiding from it. Jane Elliott, another young lady who has been in this space of teaching and training for years. I mean, she talks about and asks a question to a room full of individuals who are white and says, how many of us in this room, knowing how black people are treated day in and day out, would choose to switch positions and be in their position with them? No hands went up. She said, I'm sorry, maybe you didn't understand. Let me ask again. So she asked again, and no one raised their hand. So she said, well, that says a lot that no one's hands went up, because that says you know what's going on. You know you don't want it for yourself. So why are we okay with it being for others, right? So in America, yes, you're absolutely right. Being that the country was founded on disenfranchisement and slavery and racism, I mean, we can go down the list of lynchings to the, it's just so much. And over time, it just builds and builds and builds. So it is exhausting, it is tiring, it is frustrating. And sometimes black individuals like myself, we sometimes are tired of teaching, believe it or not. You know, imagine saying the same thing over and over and over, but it's not sticking almost, right? So there's a level of you have to self-reflect and self-disclose and say, hey, you know, today, not today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today. So it is exhausting, but I do have hope. I do have a strength to know that God is still in control no matter what comes. Right? He has sustained us thus far, and we will continue to push to make sure that we do his will.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. You're exactly right. You know, being an African-American, it is tiring, you know, at times. It's great. You know, we love being black, but it is tiring, you know, and, you know, many of us just want the benefit of the doubt. If we just get the benefit of the doubt, just like everybody else, that just makes life, it's more even, you know. I was thinking about the interaction that gal at Central Park had with the bird watcher. He was a black guy. He was a graduate from Harvard, but he wasn't seen that way. And for her to call the police and to, you know, make accusations and things of that nature, for us to be seen as aggressors when we're just in our natural habitat and we're just, you know, existing like everyone else, it's tough. So we do have to limit our interaction and skew how we do things, you know, how we, if I'm in the grocery store, how fast I approach somebody, you know, if it's a white woman, like I have to make sure I divert and go around, or if I see the person the same, you know, in the same aisle or a different aisle, I may go around and make a lap, just little things like that. But it does get tiring just to be normal. I'm more encouraged now this week than I've ever been encouraged, you know, as far as, you know, seeing some eyes being opened and people waking up and some change happening and conversations happening like this. So I'm more encouraged, more hopeful, and continue to have our joy like Pastor spoke about last Sunday, because that's our strength. When we're tired and when we're feeling, you know, weary and wanting to give up, we have to get in the presence of God. And that doesn't change no matter what color you are. It's getting in the presence of God, and that's where your joy comes from. That's where your strength comes from. And then we can actually make change when we're full of the Spirit. So, you know, that doesn't change no matter what color you are.
Man, Neil, that's awesome. James, can I ask you, you shared with our dream team a while ago, and you did it so wonderfully. You explained this, but why do Black Lives Matter?
It's a great question, and thank you, Pastor, for asking. You hear when someone says Black Lives Matter, often you hear the rebuttal of All Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. But when you say Black Lives Matter, it's real, because right now, statistics, data, and now video, it shows that Black lives are the ones being threatened the most right now. And we have to call it out for what it is. And it's been happening for years. It's just, as Will Smith said, racism didn't just start today. It's been recorded now. And now we're able to see it. So when someone says Black Lives Matter, they're not knocking any other life. All right. We're not saying no other life matters, but we have to acknowledge that Black lives seem to not matter to some people, because they're the ones that are being killed right there all the time, and no consequences are following, right? So when you say Black Lives Matter, when I say Black Lives Matter, when my children say Black Lives Matter, when we put our fists up to say Black Lives Matter, it's a declaration of, hey, we mean it, and you will not erase us. And it's similar if you think of a scenario when you were, I was using this a little bit earlier, if a house in a neighborhood was burning, oh my gosh, all the neighbors come out, somebody calls 911, we have to get the fire truck, they're coming, and all of a sudden they jump into action. Thank God for our first responders. And they start to put that fire out. How unfortunate would it be if someone were to run up and take the fire hose from that firefighter and say, wait, no, all of these homes matter. All of them, not just this one, all homes matter. But we fail to realize the severity of what's going on right now. In this moment, this house is burning. It is on fire. And if we don't act now, if we don't move intentionally now, if we don't put action to it now, it will perish. The same thing that's going on in our country and in our world right now. We're saying Black Lives Matter now. If we don't move now, if we don't act now, if we don't move and put it into position now, it will not look good. So that's why we have the Black Lives Matter. That's why we have the protests. We love everyone. All lives matter, comma, when Black Lives Matter.
Or you could put a two at the end. Black Lives Matter, two.
Oh, yeah. T-O-O, right?
T-O-O.
Yes.
T-O-O.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, Dad, I wanted to talk to you. Let's go into the spiritual component a little bit. And that is, Dad, what is God's heart on racism? What does the Bible say about it? What does God think about it?
You know, James chapter 2, you know, I'm just going to read 3 or 4 verses. We shared this in our video that we aired a few weeks ago, but racism is sin. Racism is ungodly. Racism is evil. Racism is wrong. And so, you know, I'm going to give you guys scriptures. So I want to give you some scriptures from James chapter 2 and verse 1. The guys will have it on the screen. But it says, my brethren, pay no regard to people. Show no prejudice. That's in the Bible. Show no prejudice. do not attempt to hold or practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with snobbery. What it's saying there is, if I say I'm a Christian, I need to act like I'm a Christian. You know, what would Jesus do? There's that book, In His Steps. I don't know if you guys ever read that years ago in the 1800s, a guy wrote. And the whole thing is, In His Steps, walking in His steps. What would Jesus do? How would He respond? And then verse 4 here in James chapter 2, it says, are you not discriminating among your own and becoming critical and judging with wrong motives? This is the Bible. This isn't politics. This is the Bible. This isn't my idea. This is the Word of God. And then verse 8 and 9. If indeed you really fulfill the royal law of love, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself, you do well. Verse 9. But if you show regard or prejudice or favoritism for people, you commit sin. Wow, it's right there, isn't it? I mean, it's just right there. That sounds like Fred Price, doesn't it, James?
It's right there.
He's my man. Anyway, so let me give you the, you want me to give you the 5 steps? The 5 steps of action biblically tells us to do is, what do you do, Pastor? What should we be doing? Number one, love unconditionally. The guys will have it up there, love unconditionally. The first fruit of the Spirit that I'm really a Christian is love. 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 Number two, what can we do? Start respecting one another. Start respecting, not discriminating, not having prejudice, not better than somebody else, but respecting one another. Number three, what can we do? Stand up against evil. And I'm with you, Neil. God's going to do miracles out of all of this. I really believe it. I believe we're going to see change for the good in Jesus' name. And so it's time to stand up against evil and declare what it is. Number four, examine my heart. Examine my heart every day. See, Lord, search me. And then number five, pray for change. The Bible says if we will humble ourselves, you talked about humility, Daniel. If we'll humble ourselves and pray, He will heal our land. And if we ever need healing in our land, we need it now.
That's awesome, Dad. Just sticking with that, why is it important that the church is inclusive, that is diverse? Why is it important? You tell the story many years ago, your vision for Church on the Rock, but why is it important?
Because, why is it important? Because the church is to represent Jesus Christ. Yes. We're to be Him on earth. When people see us, they're to see Him. The Bible says we're to be living letters. We're to be His eyes, His heart, His ears, His feet, His hands. Like you said, Gene was for you, Daniel, when he said he had your back.
Yes.
I never knew that story until Daniel just said that this week, made me cry.
Yeah.
You know, so the church is the hope of the world. The church, you know, is to represent Christ and the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've heard it say, you know, the church should be a picture of what heaven's going to be like.
Amen.
And it should be.
Yes. Amen. That's awesome. Awesome. Okay, guys, well, now I'd like to get into the action steps a little bit here. So first off, can you, I guess, how do we understand what people of color experience? James, you want to start with it?
Yeah, how do we understand? I think, number one, we have to start by listening. I think one thing is sometimes we listen to speak instead of listening to understand. Yeah, so it's one thing to be quiet and just, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say so much that I don't even hear you, versus I'm literally taking in everything that you say. I'm showing you with my nonverbal communication that I hear you, that I care, and that I want to learn about what it is that you're going through. So I think for me, the first step must be stop and listen before I can move, because when I listen, it gives me instruction. Same thing in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I don't hear, I can't move. That's why I have to speak out of my mouth what it is that I want. But in this situation, I need to listen, hear it, so that I can understand what my fellow brother, my fellow sister is going through. That will help me get an understanding. Yeah.
I think that's great. Simply show empathy. You know, you may not understand what your brother that's black or brown that's going through. It's too different worlds. But you can show empathy. You can seek to feel what they feel, to, you know, to cry with them, to grieve with them, to rejoice with them, to mourn. You know, empathy is basic. That's where we start. And when we have empathy, then we can actually seek to understand a little bit more. And I think when we spend time with those that aren't like us, that look different than us, when we invite them to our homes and we go out to eat and we have conversation, some things are taught, but some things are caught as well. And I think once we spend more time with one another, and it's uncomfortable, and you know, you're trying to find those, that common ground, but it's worth it. Yeah. It really is worth it.
Yeah, and it's funny that you said some things are taught and some things are caught. There's another one that came to mind, and then some things are bought, right? If I need to learn something and I need to be taught, that's one avenue. If I see something happen to someone else and I learn a lesson, I caught it in passing. If I have to learn by paying a price, then I bought that lesson.
That's good.
And there's some people, and some of us, we have to buy the lesson to get it, but I'm with you on that. That's good.
Yeah, or you can buy me Chipotle as well. That always helps as well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's good. Neil, and I realize you guys both kind of answered this a little bit right there, but how can we help? Do I have to post on Instagram? Do I have to protest? Do I have to speak out to be an ally? Or is there other things I can do?
Well, that helps, creating awareness, because, you know, as we've seen with the Ahmaud Arbery situation, we would not have known that the gentleman that, you know, committed that terrible act would still be out there if we hadn't said something and social media wouldn't come together. And so I think creating awareness definitely helps. That's the first step. Having conversations with one another, that's another step. But, you know, one thing I just want to, you know, just brag on Pastor about, and you said you face evil, you know, you have to speak up, and you've spoken out for years. Many people don't know that, but you've spoken out for decades, and went against the grain when it wasn't cool, when it wasn't popular, wasn't a hashtag. You were standing up to St. Peter's and St. Charles County and members and people that say, oh, well, this church is too white, this church is too brown, church is too black, church is too this, and you were paving the way. You pioneered for us to be here today, and I'm thankful for that, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, you know, you paving the way and allowing us to use our gifts and use our abilities and leadership, because you care, you're aware, and I'm thankful for that. People don't know all that you've been through. People, and you've been preaching this before it was even popular. So I'm thankful for you standing up and stepping out. And what you said on social media was phenomenal. The videos you posted were phenomenal, but there's a lot of work behind the scene that needs to be done, and that you've been doing, and paving the way and creating this culture so that we can continue to grow together. So thank you.
Absolutely. And doing things like this, sitting down and talking about it, and talking about it in such a way that everyone who's watching and who's listening, they understand that it's important. People can see when it's important based on how you approach it and how you deliver it. Right? They can see. They can tell if it's really important. Oh, yeah, go ahead and do that, and we'll get to it, and da-da-da-da-da. Or, no, we're going to commit this session. We're going to commit this time. We're going to commit this service to talking about the issues that are tough. Because if it's a tough conversation, and sometimes I even pull away from tough and say real conversations, right? And oftentimes those real conversations are the ones that need to be had. But you're absolutely right, Neil. Here in this house, I'm grateful that we're able to talk about it and that we're able to really be transparent and get to that point.
Absolutely. And you said something in our staff training was really good, is representation as well. That's key, because when people come into the doors, especially the church, they want to see someone that looks like them, to identify with them. And I know you've been very intentional about that, of making sure that what we have on stage is representative out there, and it's going to mirror one another, what looks like heaven. So I think that is key. And maybe you can expound on that a little bit about how people will feel when they see someone like themselves.
Absolutely. When you see someone who looks like you, imagine all of the brown and black babies, young people, who were excited when President Obama was president. They thought, I can do it now. I can do it. I see that it's been done, right? And you don't have to agree with all of his policies, but representation, that's something that you can't take. That's why it's so important within certain companies. That's why it's so important in business, that when you say, I want to reach and make sure that my reach is there, if I want to attract women, if I want to attract minorities, I need to have them Of course, the ones that are performing, yes. But you got to make sure that they have a seat at the table, right? And if they don't, we need to start there and find out why is that. If they're as qualified as we say, right, why are they not moving up? So that representation needs to be there.
And not just for the look, but because ideas and you need feedback and you need, you know, there's different, you know, culture ideas thing, because we have a, it's different between a diverse and multicultural. There's different cultures represented. And when you have different people speaking into things, you can say, well, you know, I didn't see that. You know, and you can really, really have the church or the ministry, the organization, the company that you really want when you have different colors, because we're all on the body of Christ. We're all one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to your point, the more people you have in the room who are not from the same space, you won't have the same answers all the time. And that's going to challenge us to grow. It's going to challenge us to reach in a different way to make sure that we are living out the vision and the mission to lead people, not one people, black people, white people. Yeah, we pastor says it all the time. It does not specify a specific person, but the mission of this church says to lead people. Right. And if we keep that in mind, then that means we have to be in tune to that, those different individuals. And how do we reach them? How do we reach them?
That's so good. Awesome. OK. James, again, you touched on this today and I thought it was awesome. How do I respond if someone says something discriminating in front of me?
Oh, yeah. If they say something, you have to stop it right there. You have to nip it in the bud. You have to. That courage from the inside that Christ gives us, right? Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world, right? We have to be able to boldly stand up when things are not right. And I think that's what we're speaking of right now in this season, right? When we talk about our black community right now, we're looking for individuals who are going to stand up. And that's why you see signs on the protest that are saying silence, right? It's basically saying that you agree. Right? So, yes, standing up when you were asking, should we post? Should we do this? Whatever you do, don't be silent, especially when you know it's something that's not right that's happening towards God's children. Right?
I see a lot of young people standing up and speaking out. You know, there was a demonstration in O'Fallon a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I went there and I was like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, 10, 15 people out there, a couple signs. And I pulled up and I was like, a sea of young people, black, brown, white, everybody with police hand in hand, arm in arm, and the young people start to lead this. You know, when there's change and there's a revolution, it generally starts with young people, and it's really cool to see people, you know, standing up for what's right. It's like, you know what, that's my brother, that's my sister, I believe in this, and I believe that racism is sin. So if I see something that's not right, I'm going to speak up and stand up for one another, because that, and usually use my voice for the voiceless. And I think that's the key, especially with white Christians and white people in general. If you see somebody that does not have a voice, to use your voice, to use your privilege, to use your influence, to stand up and to speak out for those people that can't.
Wow, that's so good. That's awesome. Okay, how do we continue to learn? I know you kind of touched on listening, but what are some things, James, we can continue to educate ourselves going forward?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a plethora of books that are out that we can read. I know we have certain books that we read through the leadership team. You can do that. We can look online and look at some of the TED Talks and the videos of some of the practitioners that are out there that are speaking on these. There's studies that we can walk through, different things that we can partner with. But I think even having these kind of conversations, because when people feel that they trust you and they feel safe, they'll open up. But if there's no trust, if there's no safety in the communication, they will keep closed. They will keep closed. So if we can provide and continue to cultivate that relationship in such a way that the guard and the barriers come down, because we all have guards and barriers that come up, we all do. But how do we make them come down so that we can truly be authentic in everything that we want to be? Right? Authentic in this house, authentic in our home, authentic with our families, right? And then it starts to spread, right? When our children see us modeling that behavior, they're going to pick it up, right? As we talked about taught, caught, and bought, right? Things in culture, we have to make sure that we're doing that.
So. Yeah, and that goes for both sides. So, you know, black people, you have to learn to listen. You have to learn to create a safe space so people can actually share and ask the silly questions and the things that, you know, may be uncomfortable. It has to be a safe place, because if you don't have that, then people don't want to talk about it. You know, you're going to just pounce on them and jump on. It's like, let's be open so we can learn together and grow together. That's really the goal. So I think, you know, reading, there's a book called The New Jim Crow, which is really good and explains a lot of different things with history and current day. There's a Netflix documentary called The 13th, and it just explains how systematic racism is in prison systems and just how kind of where we are today and why we are where we are today. It's really good. And there's a lot of different resources that we can read secular, but there's a lot of spiritual resources we can read as well to grow in our spirit, because we're not after behavior modification, so to speak. That's good. We need that. But we need heart transformation. That's the main thing. When our hearts are transformed, like Pastor speaks about, that's when we can really see lasting change instead of just, you know, changing a law here, changing some things here, which need to be changed. But we really need our hearts changed so we can see some eternal change.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
This has just been awesome.
Appreciate it.
And I'm excited to continue and even have more of these conversations in the future. But you really blessed us today. You've helped us. We've learned a lot. And just thank you for investing in our church family. And Dad, right here at the end, would you pray and close us out and give people the opportunity for those changed hearts?
Yes. Right. You know, this has been so rich, so good tonight, life-changing, but it's just the beginning. As the guys said, we want this to continue. Want these talks, the conversation, relationships to continue. And before we go off tonight, I have to give you an opportunity. Like Neil said, it all starts in the heart. That's where real change starts. That's where lasting change starts. So right there where you're at, you say, Pastor, you say to all of us, you say to James, Neil, Daniel, and me, I need to change in my life. I need to change my perspective. I need to change my outlook, my attitudes. I need to change, you know, there's some change that needs to happen. And you found out you can't do it on your own. You need God. You need a God who's for you, a God who loves you, a God who believes in you, a God who sent his son to die for you. So first of all, for those of you watching right now, you say, Pastor, I need God. I don't have a relationship. Pray for me. I want you to punch the button on your computer, on your smartphone. Faith is an act. We've got to do something. We can't sit idle. So do that right there. We're going to pray. But also, those of you that are believers, you see, whoa, this is spoken to my heart tonight. I've had some issues. I've had some things in my life that aren't right. I need to get them right. Pastor, pray for me. I want my heart to get right. I want to be right, Pastor. I want to be right with God, and I want to be right with my fellow man. Pray for me. If that's you, again, faith is an act. You've got to do something. And so just punch the button on your smartphone, your computer. You're saying, yes, I'm praying. So wherever you're at, all over the world, and Daniel, this weekend, you know, UK, Germany, Puerto Rico, all the different countries, guys, people are watching tonight everywhere. So wherever you're at, God's right there where you're at right now. You say, I want to pray. Pray this with me. Right there where you're at. Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to God's family. Now take the next step. Would you do that for me? Share this with a friend. Seriously, this will be archived, right, Daniel? So you can share this with people that you know need to hear it, should hear it. Will make a difference in their life as well. Now our host is coming to give you our next step. And don't forget, till this weekend, we all love you and God is for you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.